What's up, citizens of Apologia? This is King Ginger, and I just wanted to take a moment to encourage you all to sign up for Apologia All Access. When you sign up for Apologia All Access, you're going to get exclusive on-demand content. This means that you and your entire family are going to get to watch every single TV show, every single after show, and every single Apologia Academy, with new content dropping every single week. But most importantly, your contribution helps Apologia Studios create quality, Christ-centered entertainment that reaches millions of people on our YouTube channels and through our podcast with the gospel. So what are you waiting for? Change everything at ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rockabotus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh! Oh,
what?
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
Black bears weigh between 200 and 500 pounds. Brown bears weigh between 300 and over 1,000 pounds. Black bears run away from you. Brown bears run at you. When attacked by a bear, simply lie still on the ground and cover your face and head with your hands. When the bear is finished batting you around and mauling you, contact the U.S. Forest Service.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Pastor Luke Pearson in the Bear's Roar.
What is up? I just wanted you all to know how complicated that is to make that introduction work smoothly, but I nailed it.
Good job.
Thank
Good
you.
Job,
man.
I didn't even know. I was actually wondering. I thought maybe you had it pre-done or something like that.
Nope.
It was just a different
track. It's just mad DJ skills is what it is.
Oh.
So you're all welcome.
Nice. Even that little record scratch, he did that for real.
Yes.
He has all the required
things. You see
things.
My turntable over here?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The ones, it's there. I see it.
The ones and twos, life. As yep. Jeff refers to them as.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Apologia Radio. This is Luke the Bear. Jeff is on his much-needed sabbatical with his family. So I have hijacked the show. I have the Uge, Joy the Girl.
Hello.
The other Uge, King Ginger.
What is that? The usual.
Goodness,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not
got
like
it.
Not like the usual.
The
usual
sus. Okay. Got it.
And I have a special guest today. Well, kind of special. Not me.
Well,
that's okay. I'll take special. Hey guys, how's it going?
And you're gonna start off with some scripture. Am I correct?
I am. Yes. I have a verse here for us in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And I picked that scripture because I think it summarizes a lot of the differences between the methodologies of what we're going to talk about today in terms of the pro-life movement and approaching abortion from a consistent Christian perspective.
Yes. And you are having your big debut on Sunday, correct?
I am, yes. I will be bringing the word in accordance with the shepherding of my elders and the raising up and the preparation to do so. So I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm nervous.
Or for those of you that don't know what that means, he's going to be speaking at Apologia Church on Sunday.
I will be preaching from the pulpit.
This is your first time ever, huh?
Yep, first time ever.
I'm excited.
You'll do great. I'm excited too.
Thanks for the support, y'all.
Yeah, so look for that. By the time you all hear this, it might even be up online, so on YouTube. Yep. What are you teaching on?
Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. So, talking about good trees that bear good fruit, bad trees that bear bad fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and every careless word that you speak will be taken into account on the day of judgment.
Awesome.
I guess it makes sense that you're preaching on Sunday, considering how you've been accused of wanting to be just like Jeff. And you're sitting in Jeff's chair right now.
I know. This is, I mean, it's
and
cool.
A Star Wars shirt.
Yeah, it's cool. Does Jeff have Star Wars shirts?
A few.
Okay.
You did shave your face, though.
Right.
I did, yeah. That was another thing that I was accused of, was having the same beard. But,
right.
So,
yeah,
we eliminated that from the equation.
Yeah, in case you're wondering, people who don't like us very much and don't really have any good arguments against us have decided that they'll just go after Zach's appearance.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with, other than the fact that he slightly resembles Jeff by having brown hair and being male and having a face.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Basically, if you come to Mill and you're a male, you're trying to be like Jeff.
You're trying to be just like Jeff.
Yeah.
So.
But that's okay.
Anyways.
Mini Jeff. Jeff's cool. So.
What, Marcus?
I said Mini Jeff.
Mini Jeff. So, Marcus.
Yes.
You and Zach just took a road trip.
We did.
Well, it wasn't in the road. It was in the air.
In the air trip.
Yeah.
Followed by a road trip.
A road trip probably would have been much better than Frontier Airlines.
But I was waiting.
Frontier is
Thank you, Joy, for booking that flight. Thank you.
I told you that Frontier was our only option, and I told you it was going to be horrible, and I told you that.
You did not lie.
But
not
you guys also were like, hey, so this last minute trip that we are taking, could you book that for us? And I was like, oh yeah.
Did you all did you all wear like coonskin hats and bring your muskets?
No, we did not. No.
Oh, no.
One of the most memorable parts was on the flight back, they were serving beverages, and Marcus is really on a ginger ale kick right now, but he didn't realize that it wasn't a complimentary beverage.
No.
He doesn't bleed ginger ale?
Nothing is complimentary about Frontier.
I like that. Yeah, because he's a ginger.
Yeah. They charge you for the bags that you bring on the airplane, right?
They charge you for the bags. They charge you for your seat. They charge you for anything that you consume.
Yeah. That's how Legion is, and then it ends up being more.
Unless,
right.
there is a way to get something for free, and that is to be flirt with the flight attendant.
Oh,
because there was a family, and there were empty exit row seats like right in front of us, and this family came and tried to take those seats because they were available.
Right.
And the flight attendant runs up to them and goes, no, those cost $50 a piece. You have to pay for those. And so they went and sat back in their regular seat. And immediately afterwards, these Asian guys come and they sit down, and escorted by the waitresses, the flight attendants, who are flirting with them the whole trip.
The
whole flight, and they didn't pay.
Mm. Right.
I thought you were going to say you flirted with them. And
No.
I know. Thought we were about to hear that.
That is not
too.
Me.
I really wanted to hear that.
No.
I'm actually kind of disappointed.
You wouldn't want the emergency ecstasy anyway, because
you have
there's no place to put your bags or anything.
Oh,
like
I would
that.
Love to have the exit row seat.
Well, except for, so here on Frontier, the only thing that is free is your personal item.
The air you breathe.
And you don't get a personal item if you're sitting in the emergency exit row. So I feel like what they probably do is they charge you to put your personal item up in the overhead bin.
Because
I would absolutely believe that. Anyway, if you give me more notice next time, I will never ever book you for anything for Frontier, because I seriously loathe them. And I never want to give them a penny ever again.
Did you have
again.
To like insert quarters to use the bathroom?
I almost thought we did.
We joked about that.
We did, yeah.
That'd be really funny.
No, it was an experience.
So, Zach, tell us about your first flying experience with Marcus. Was it all
was
cracked
TSA.
Up to be?
I was getting through security.
You know, it wasn't terrible. I mean, his bag did get stopped because it had a device inside of it that tripped off the security sensor.
Of course,
but other than that, It was not
a
too bad.
A film recording device. Right. Let's be clear about that.
That's what I mean. We don't want anyone to think that there was a questionable device in there.
Right now. Get it out of your head.
Zach, you got a handled by the TSA, didn't you?
I did, very gently, though. Okay. That was okay. So apparently, they weren't clear, and they have different rules depending on which airport you're going through, I guess. I had a comb in my back pocket.
What?
So they told me I wasn't allowed to bring that
through. Was it metal?
No, it was just a plastic comb.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And so he said, sir, I'm going to have to lift your shirt up and feel inside the top part of your jeans where your belt loops are. And he said, would you like to go somewhere privately, or would you like me to do that here? And
never,
so I said, let me think.
I never want to go anywhere with you.
Yeah, right.
First of all. I was like, no, I'm pretty sure I want witnesses.
Yeah.
In case something happens.
Unreal. Can you imagine the headlines? Man on flight combs stewardess to death.
Like, well, I've heard that combs can interfere with the delicate technology that it takes to fly an airplane.
Yeah, right.
You know, that all those little, it just interferes, you know, like the signal bounces off of them.
Oh, is that what?
Because airplane technology is so delicate.
Right. No, enough for a comb to interfere with. I'm telling you, I'm sure I've read an article about that somewhere.
I'm sure somewhere.
No, but it was good. It was a decent experience.
Tell us where and why you went anywhere.
Well, we flew into Chicago O'Hare, and then we drove to Milwaukee.
Oh, I forgot to ask you to get me some stinking...
Oh, yeah, popcorn.
Garrett's. Shoot.
Ah.
It would have been gone.
I am so upset with myself right now.
Frontier wouldn't let us put it on anyway.
Right. They would have counted it as a check-on, carry-on item,
$50,
and they would have charged $85 for it.
Yeah. That'll be $8.
I would have paid I would have paid it.
I'm flying into O'Hare. I will bring you some back.
Garrett's.
But you have
Chicago
to wait,
mix.
Of course.
Yes, okay.
There's not, you can't even go into Garrett's and not get the Chicago
okay,
mix.
Just making sure we're clear. just making sure there's no confusion on that. So anyways, so you went to Chicago.
Went to Chicago and then
drove. Did
you get
any Polishes?
Pizza? No. We didn't have time to go to Geno's East, which is where Joy recommended.
And I did.
Yeah.
And
well, because Luke and I both know.
Yes.
That Geno's East is just the best place. I know there's all this conversation about it, but
yes.
Geno's is just the best, and
yes.
You don't ever need to say anything to me about it. You don't ever
I'm
need to try to convince anyone that Geno's is not as good
itself,
as something
huh?
else.
Yeah. And why did we go to Chicago?
Actually, you were way north of the city anyway, so you
right. Yeah, you would have had to fly.
Yeah,
to fly.
By the time we got there, with looking for our shuttle to the rental car place, it just.
Well, and you guys did your plane get delayed?
It was delayed, so we were late getting in.
Oh.
And then we waited for the shuttle, and by that time, we did end up going to a Steak and Shake, which I have never been to before.
One of my faves.
It was actually really good.
What'd you get?
I got a guacamole burger with jalapenos on there, but the single best part was the milkshake experience.
Their shakes
those
amazing.
Milkshakes, oh my gosh.
Well, I've heard delicious. That you should always, for your first time, you should always go in the Midwest. We have some Steak and Shakes here, but I've heard that they're just not as good.
They're not the same.
No.
There's one in Tempe, but it's just not the same.
Right.
So why did we go there?
Yeah, why?
Right.
We started the food.
To get pizza, right?
Right. Yeah, no. So we drove into Milwaukee for the National Right to Life Convention. So that's where pro-life leaders and directors of that movement come from all over the country to have a convention on what to do to combat abortion in the nation.
Like tons of them.
So
there's
nothing.
A book.
So nothing?
Well, the result of what we came to at the end of it was that so it was an experience, man. It was very eye-opening. I remember getting back to the room after the first day and going, wow, I didn't get it. I didn't realize how bad their approach is and how inconsistent it is with what we would say is consistent with the scriptures and how we're supposed to fight this fight.
I gotta say, Marcus, I'm kudos to you for not getting kicked out. I thought for sure.
He was very well behaved,
man. I thought for sure.
That's because he had his little... Oh, no, wait. I probably shouldn't talk about that. That's secret. I don't want anyone to know about that super
yeah.
secret James Bond thing
oh,
that
yeah,
you
yeah.
got.
We didn't use it. Really?
Yeah. Oh.
But we still don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Right.
We don't want anyone to know that we have it in case we use it on you.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
So check yourself before you wreck yourself, because you might be on it.
Yeah.
But no, it was, yeah. I mean, we were able to talk to a lot of people, and the cool thing is, actually the sad
thing
is...
They gave us press credentials.
Yes. Yeah.
That's so, the most amazing thing.
So they escorted guests into a room for us to interview, and... We pretty much could interview as many people as we wanted, and the problem was just that it was such a small conference. I think the first 2 days we were like, we haven't done hardly anything, because there's never a time where people are just hanging out. They're always like in meetings and stuff.
In sessions, yeah.
And so there's that, and then the last day I think we knocked out like 5 interviews, like one after the other, because nobody was doing anything but hanging around. So we finally got it on the last day. But we got great interviews. We got interviews from Brian Kemper, Father Frank Pavone, who started Priest for Life, and he is the Catholic priest who...
Of the mob?
No.
Oh, it sounds like a mobster name.
It does.
He's the Catholic priest that turned Roe from Roe v. Wade pro-life.
Really?
And so he's like the top guy in the Catholic pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that speaks at the March for Life and does the Catholic. He gave the Catholic Mass every single day there, which we did not go to.
We did not
not once.
We also interviewed Carol. Carol's the president.
Carol,
National Right to Life.
Carol, the president. We interviewed her, and so pretty much everybody that was a key player there that we could. We spoke to David DeLeiden, but
he sat next to you, right?
He sat next to me
and
complimented me on one of the questions I asked during the class.
He was so proud of himself.
I was so happy.
I would be.
I was like, this is a guy that deserves the Presidential Medal of Honor, and he just liked a question I asked. So that was pretty good. We got pretty much, you know, everybody that was, I think, significant that was there. So
did you see Jeff's buddy Tony Lallinger?
We saw
him
several times.
Yes.
Did he give you any dirty looks?
He did not recognize us, and nobody at National Right to Life recognized us,
which is a praise, and we
never hid anything. We said they asked where they could find us, and we said Apologia Studios on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody looked to go find that interview. Nobody's found it. So you know,
we told him about an abortion now and everything we were doing to help churches and all that too.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't want to get kicked out, but I was like, you know, it'd be good footage, so I wanted to at least provide an option.
Right.
No, we were very cordial and stuff, and so we're gonna play some of those clips. Later in the show.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll play some of those. So we'll end this segment with a little fun before we get serious. So we're going to listen to some half-speed Apologia Radio. So, enjoy.
I watched too much Terminator.
Yeah, I watched this stuff called... It was a documentary series on YouTube called Robots in Us. And there was this lady talking about the need.
And us. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said in us.
Yeah. Ew.
The robots in us.
And they're going to have those too. They're going to be medical robots that are in your body.
Little nanobots.
Yeah. But anyway.
It'll be like that old 80s film with Dennis Quaid. What was that thing? Murray shrinks him down into the thing, and he goes through the guy's body.
That's an episode of the Magic School Bus.
What's it called?
It was an episode of the Magic School Bus.
It was.
Every episode of the Magic School Bus.
Look it up. up, Dennis?
All right.
Too good.
That's fun. Well, hope you enjoyed that. We will be right back, and we'll talk about, like I said, some clips from the conferences Zach and Marcus are at. So we will see you on the other side.
What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the Lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. David Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com. So praise God, they weren't singing this to you guys.
Right, they were not.
So, Marcus.
Yes.
Which clip do you want to discuss first?
Let's go with the Students for Life one. So I think that's the first one you
first
got.
One.
Okay. The girl there, her name is Tina, I believe.
Do you want to set it up or you want me to just play it?
Yeah, I'll set it up. Okay. So Students for Life is a massive nationwide pro-life organization, and they're very proud about them being a secular organization. And so we interviewed them, and she was very nice, and she was very willing to answer questions. So I was thinking, you don't have to trick anybody here.
Right.
Because, yep. There's not anything underhanded. We just ask them, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about the people who want to, make abortion a Christian position as right. opposed to, stuff like that.
And then just let them talk.
And just let them talk. And they love to show you why that our sort of thinking is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's go ahead and play this clip and then we'll
go. Yeah, I was going to say quickly, I watched this interview. I mean, she was very sweet. I really enjoyed the interview because it was, like I said, very sweet, very nice, very pleasant person. And there was moments where, on one hand, I don't know which part we're going to play here, but there's moments where she was like right on with stuff. And I was like, oh, that's so good. And then she would just like completely fall off the rails a second later.
I think one thing that's important to mention is all these people are completely genuine.
Yes.
They really do want to end abortion.
Yes.
So it's not like, they're just in it for the money or like anything like that. They really do want to end abortion. They just have been sold a lie as to how to do it. And in this she'll explain why the way to do it is not using theology.
Mm. Right. Okay, here we go.
There are so many other religious organizations on campuses that are doing great work. And so why remake that wheel? Our mission is about ending abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia. And you can do that outside of a theological premise.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
You want to comment on that?
Well, I mean, I think that that wanting to see it ended is a theological premise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ultimately, why is infanticide and abortion and euthanasia, why is that immoral? And once you claim the reason, that's a theological position. So all morality is theological in nature. So I think like that's the fundamental issue. So it's not, there's never ever a call to repentance.
Exactly.
Ever. In the National Right to Life, there's never a call to repentance. It's always change your heart and mind. Mm-hmm. But there's no theology that's required to change mm-hmm. your heart and mind.
Yeah, dude. That's the impression, ultimately. Mm-hmm. If I could pinpoint a thing, it would be they talk so much about changing hearts and minds, but doing it through education and information. So to them, changing hearts and minds is just about presenting people with facts, mm-hmm. medical facts, scientific facts, those kinds of things. But when it all comes down to it, we know as Christians who are starting with the Word of God as our foundation, what's the only thing that can actually change someone's heart?
Right.
The gospel message is what transforms hearts. And so if you're just giving people information, that doesn't make them any less desiring in their heart to commit the act of abortion or right. any other right. sin.
It's pragmatism.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there is pragmatism that falls in favor of abortion, which is why right. it doesn't work.
Right.
Mm. That's the point.
So that's why, and I would venture to say that pragmatism pretty much never works. It can be interesting, but a pragmatic argument is really not the way to go when the issue really is the heart of the mm-hmm. person, because it's very pragmatic also for our hearts to sin.
Right.
Like that comes very naturally and realistically to us. So I would just recommend against that.
Yep. And can I say one more thing about
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, please.
I mean, we're told in the scriptures, obviously, what comes first. So, I mean, 2 Timothy 2:24, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. It's not the knowledge of the truth that abortion ends a human life that's going to lead to a changed heart.
Right.
It's repentance that comes first
right.
before the knowledge right. of the truth. Right. So they have it backwards. Their entire methodology is let's educate people. And if they just knew medically, biologically, scientifically, genetically that it was a human being, then we would never, ever think about killing it or doing anything right. to hurt it.
Right.
Because after all, it's just like us. That's how they right. establish the right. value of human beings is horizontally.
Right.
So we both began at conception. Our lives are. So that's our common ground, what makes us valuable. Wherein as the biblical view, if we're standing on the Word of God, we're valuable, you're valuable, I'm valuable because we're made in God's image. And that's established vertically,
yep.
right.
not horizontally. So my value isn't dependent upon those other things. It starts mm-hmm. with God. That's where the value comes from. So their perspective as far as what comes first, knowledge or repentance, and then even establishing the value and dignity of a human life. We asked right. that same question to all of them, and that is generally where the answer ended up, mm. is medically, I mean, would you say, Marcus, that that's accurate?
I think me and you talked about that several times last week, was how everybody was pushing this knowledge before repentance. And even in the same interview with Tina from Students for Life, she says, and I didn't pull the clip because we got a lot of stuff, so yeah. we're going to use it for other things. But she says very clearly, she says pro-life is the gateway drug to Christianity.
Right, right.
And so if you can get them on pro-life, if you can just get into the pro-life side, Christianity
is right after.
Yeah. Right.
But the thing was, you know, I think their foundational argument throughout the entire thing is that everybody believes that a human life is valuable. Mm-hmm. Like they just assume that, which is... In essence, it's good presuppositional view, right? Because everybody sure. does believe that human life is valuable. But the problem is when I think you asked her specifically, you said, well, what do you say? How do you justify the value of a human life? And she said, well, that could be different based on your religion. Mm, we let you choose.
Yeah.
We let you right. choose whatever you want. So their entire foundation, their entire premise is human life is valuable. But
it doesn't matter how, what the basis for that claim.
Right.
Which and, that and that's responded to very frequently by saying, I even if I do think it's a baby, I still think I should also be able to kill it because A, B, and C statistical reasons. Like they can give you all the reasons as to why they think that even though it's a human.
Or my life is more valuable than the baby's life.
It's all about comfort. Yeah.
And the answer of the pro-life movement to that, because we asked that question, we said, well, what do you do with someone who says, yeah, I know it's a human being, but I should still have the right to kill it. So they said, well, that person's beyond hope.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Oh, they did say that. Wow. Who was it that said that? Do you remember?
It was the guy. It was the third clip we're going to play. He said, I don't have anything for him at that point. It's just hopeless.
Oh my
goodness. That's where, as Christians, we say, no, if we're bringing the gospel into this, it's never hopeless.
Right.
Because God works through that message to change people's hearts and to raise them to life.
Right.
Even the most hardened sinners. Wow. So.
Right.
And I know one thing she said that I liked, where she was talking about changing the culture, which obviously we would agree with. She sounded very post-Mill there for a little bit. But I don't remember if she specifically starts talking about using neutral terms. I know there was a one guy, Marcus, you had sent me, and he was like preaching, like, you need to be neutral. You need to use neutral terms. And it's like, how are you going to change anything if you're just trying to remain neutral, which we all know is a myth anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of falls in line with the direction they're going, which is nowhere.
Do you know what their explanation is for that? Because you'd say that to them and they say, well, if we use terminology like that, then we won't get a hearing before the secular audience, quote, get kicked out. Because after all, as soon as you say you're pro-life, people have all these assumptions. Oh, well, you must be one of those Christians or one of those Catholics, or you must believe in God. And the point is, yes, that's why I'm pro-life. Because we can't account for that any other way. We can't account for the value of human life, and we don't have the license without God to say you ought not to do this.
Right.
Right. And it's pretty well established that not everyone is going to consume the information happily that you give them about God and his law. That's promised.
Right.
So the idea is not to make it palatable.
Yeah.
It's to just make it true and bold, and it's not like there are going to be people that assume things about you or assume that you believe a certain thing because you say you're a Christian or you're against abortion, but that's just really that's like a very well thought out form of cowardice to me. May not even to the point where you don't even realize that you're ultimately just afraid. You're really just afraid, well, how are they going to think of me? And then, so you switch it around. Instead of saying, how are they going to think of me? You're like, well, how are you going to think of my argument? My argument is so important. My argument will lead you to Christ. My argument will save babies. But really, it's, how are they going to perceive me? And the answer is, well, sometimes they will perceive you well, and sometimes they will hate you. But they really don't hate you. It's not really about you.
Exactly. Right.
People so that hate God will reject you.
Right.
Yeah.
No matter how...
Christ promised that, so...
Yeah, exactly. No matter how well thought out and neutral, big air quotes there, your argument is, someone somewhere is going to reject what you have to say.
Yeah, and guess what? The other side isn't pretending to be neutral.
No, not at all.
They know what they want, and they know what they're working towards.
Right.
So let's just knock
it off.
I would
say that killing children is... just about the most unneutral thing you can do.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Taking a life is pretty packed with meaning.
Yeah.
Not neutral, somewhere between.
All right, Marcus.
Let's go ahead and play the third clip because it's in line with this conversation. Okay. So.
And this is the no-name guy that we don't know his name.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get it later.
We've lovingly referred to him as Dumpster Fire. Is that what Zach said?
Man, it was a tough session to sit through, man. It really was.
All right, here we go.
So in essence, it's more of a, would you say, like almost a neutral ground you want to find with them in a sense? Like
I think when you're speaking with someone about the issue of abortion, you have to be able to find some sort of common ground, unless it's going to be like two ships passing in the night. And you can't really engage them in an effective and productive way when people aren't on the same ground rules, playing in the same field in a sense. So, and again, I don't think our goal in talking to someone about abortion is to prove to them the meaning of life from all time. The goal in the conversation needs to be focus. It needs to be that killing an innocent human being in the womb is unjust and shouldn't be allowed in our nation. And if we can stay focused on that, we're going to be more effective in ending abortion rather than trying to get into a lot deeper conversations that may lead into a more spiritual basis. Not that we should necessarily avoid a spiritual conversation, but the thing is, the person already agrees with you that the human is valuable, because they're going to agree with you that we can't kill a toddler.
Okay.
So we need to be able to use that as a tool to then show that the difference between the born and the unborn is not that great.
And again, there's the basis for the common ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
You and I, me and a toddler, we're human beings, even though that person is further along in their development.
Right.
That is why we shouldn't do this. Mm. So the basis is not God commands you not to murder. That's his law. That's his standard that's written on your heart, and you ought not to do that, because our common ground is not that. It's actually that you and I are made in his image,
right,
and therefore true love does no harm to its neighbor, and so I can't just do that to you. That's the basis of the common ground. You're in the image of God, and so am I, and that's what you're ultimately reflecting. That's our common ground.
Right.
It's not in comparison, this person is further along in their development, so... that's it. It's just not, it's not, because as soon as you press on that a little bit and you question that, I mean, you can say all day long, I think this person is valuable, this person is valuable. But it comes down to ultimately who says which person's valuable.
And again, as we mentioned earlier, ultimately they don't care.
They're concerned with the ends.
We've seen that time and time again. We have video evidence of it numerous times, of people, they just don't care anymore. And that's why the pro-life movement has not succeeded for 40 plus years, because ultimately they don't care if it's a human or not. They want the right to be able to murder that child so they can be comfortable. And that's what it comes down to.
Hmm. Yeah.
Marcus, anything?
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing is that during that talk, there was a question and answer session that we don't have the audio to, but one of the ladies asked, I guess it was a teenager, and she asked him, she said, "What? How do you respond to somebody that says, you're just one of those crazy Christians?"
Yeah.
And his response was, "Well, I would ask them how they knew by my arguments that I was a Christian."
Yeah, that and question just right there.
Yeah, and I was, oh. I just looked at Zach and we were just like, oh my goodness, like, this is why abortion is still around after 40 years.
And you remember what his basis was for saying that, right?
No.
He quoted a verse. So the verse,
that's right.
The verse that he quoted was from Matthew chapter 10, right? So he says, it was about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Ultimately, so someone pressed
hide
him on
your
that.
Christianity.
There you go. That's the basis of the argument. Now he's using that scripture that Jesus commissioned his 12 apostles to go preach the message of the gospel out. I doubt very much that Jesus meant check the word of God at the door before you deliver the kingdom of God to an audience that may not receive it.
Yeah.
So you're to shake the dust off your feet and go to the next house, right? So it's. The point is, they were sent out, and do you really think that that verse that you're quoting has anything to do with placating to the world's sensitivities and using neutral terminology to appeal to them?
What did Christ say about the gospel?
It divides.
It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not harmless as a dove.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wisdom in presenting the truth doesn't include hiding the truth under a bush.
No.
There you go. Right. It doesn't include sacrificing it at the door.
I was raised in Sunday school.
Amen. Joy smiled. I got a smirk.
I did.
I got a smirk out of her. So, Joy, anything? Okay. What is, you want to set up Pavoni over here?
Yeah.
Pavonia Baloney.
No, so this is actually one of our favorite interviews, right?
Yes, he was my favorite Catholic that I've ever talked to.
It actually shocked me because while we were recording it, he was agreeing with everything we said and he was answering every question rightly. And so I was like kind of mad and I was like, this isn't going to work.
This is not what Catholics say.
Yeah, this
usually.
Is not. But then as he kept talking, I was like, well, actually, this is really good because he's the top guy. And so if he agrees with us, it kind of like destroys any argument that the Catholic pro-life movement has because they have to come against him and they're not going to do that. And so this is a question I asked him about interposition.
Okay, here we go.
I have always believed, and I think we're coming closer to the day, that the states have to act. If a state has a legislature, a population, a governor ready to protect their unborn children, I think we're going to see, and we should see, that state stand up and say, Roe versus Wade didn't only take away the rights of the baby, it took away the rights of the states. Well, we're going to assert our right, and we're going to protect our unborn children. And if the federal government wants to try to stop us, then let it try to stop us. And it's maybe that kind of conflict that we need to ultimately resolve this crisis, because it's wrong that the states don't have the right to do that, and I'm confident we'll get it back.
Oh,
amen, wow. Sister friend. I mean, amen, father friend.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Like, I was just like, okay, we don't have any more questions for you. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that was the last one, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was the last one.
And the reason
except
that's
the
important.
Gospel, I guess you could talk about that.
Right. The reason that's important, though, like, is because we talk to so many people and the pro-life movement, and this is the basis for ending abortion. We said, okay, what's the strategy? Guys, how are we going to do it? And the top answer, at least included in everyone's response, is this. We need to appoint pro-life, conservative justices to the Supreme Court who will overturn Roe versus Wade, and we need to continue to pass incremental legislation in each state, ultimately, that will be okay with this number of babies dying as long as you don't kill these ones through pain capability or dismemberment or those kinds of things. And so their basis, their strategy is to overturn Roe. And so to hear someone from within their own ranks who has been involved for, 25 plus years, I think, in this movement.
He's the top guy, man. There really isn't anybody that's more respected and looked up to than Father Pavone.
And with passion. Like he talked about with passion, like the states rising up in doing this. So to hear him go against the grain of everything that we heard, that was big.
Yeah, remember the line that everybody said, there is no silver bullet.
Like there's no silver bullet.
That's in their script. There's a lot of the answers you could tell were really, you know, they were scripted answers. Everybody had the same way of saying it. And so, but the one line they repeated over and over and over again is, there is no silver bullet. So every time we asked them about interposition, they said, if there is a silver bullet, we would have used it. And like I always say, there is no silver bullet, but there is a two-edged sword. Right? Like there is a weapon. there is a weapon that we can use, and it's the Bible, and that gives us the foundation for interposition and for states rejecting that. And you know, like Sam McClure, who's doing Proposal 16, he always says that potheads are braver than the pro-life movement.
It's true.
Man.
Because they're willing to resist the federal government and stand up against the federal government, whereas the pro-life community is like, well, we got to, you know, follow the laws. And I think me and Zach talked about this a lot, and there is another way, too, besides interposition. And the other way is a constitutional amendment, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there's two ways to make that happen. You can have, I think it's, is it three-fourths of the Congress?
Yeah, pretty sure that's what she said.
Can make the amendment, or two-thirds of the states can make the amendment. So you can either do it through the Congress and Senate, or you could do it through the states itself. And I was talking to Zach, and I was like, you know, Zach, they're putting all this effort into all these different laws, into all these different states, and if they would just combine all the work and efforts from these states, they could easily pass a constitutional amendment. Like the feminists were able to get the right to vote and they couldn't even vote.
They couldn't vote, yeah.
Right? So so every time the National Right to Life says, well, we just don't have the votes, you have to think about the feminists who got the right to vote without voting. And so, I you know, one of the great things about End Abortion Now is how many states do we have represented now? At least 2/3?
I would say 30.
Okay, right.
Pretty safe.
So,
I mean,
so probably about 2/3, maybe a little less, but we'll get there. And so now we have, you know, 2/3 of states represented, and we just need to show these churches to come together for one specific law, not a bunch of different varying, you know, regulations and stuff like that. Just one law. Just come together and put all our efforts and energy into that one thing.
Right.
And it can be done very quickly.
Yeah.
And so that just is what needs to happen. And I think it's way easier to do that than what they claim. It's way easier to deregulate with no goal in mind.
And can I say one thing about that too?
Yeah.
When we remember during Ben Shapiro's talk that we sat through, they were talking about the number of children that have been saved from the regulations, right?
Oh, yeah.
They were talking about that, and we praise God for every baby that's saved from that legislation.
Right.
But they actually applauded and clapped that only just under 1 million babies had died in the last year. And we were just sitting there thinking to ourselves, like, guys, that's not an applause-worthy thing.
It's not.
That's not worthy of celebration. Yeah. It's not worthy of exalting. It's not worthy of patting ourselves on the back when we're okay with, okay, as long as 1,400,000 don't die, that's a victory for us.
Right.
It's in principle, it's not. If we're fighting it from a consistent Christian perspective, we're saying abortion is murder, stop killing babies, period. Which is something they don't call abortion anyways, but I just remember that moment. They were applauding, they were cheering, and they were saying it's because of you guys working that we only have this many dead babies ultimately. It was heartbreaking.
That's insane. Well, speaking of an abortion now, our kits are being sent out.
They are sent out.
But there's more coming is what I'm getting.
Yeah. There's more coming.
It's in the they're slowly
but
being sent out because it's not an easy process.
It's been so long for me that I need people to know that there are some that have been sent out, and there are people that exist on this planet that within a few days will have a fully intact kit.
Yes.
Yes. So it's been an animal on this too, by
the
way.
Like, you guys have no idea. I literally just said before we started, I've lost all faith in any ability to ship anything whatsoever.
Right.
I don't care what company it is.
Right.
They're all terrible.
Right. So. We do have their terrible companies that you will find little glimmers of hope.
This is true.
We have a rep that has been willing to help us that we actually don't qualify to have her help because we don't ship enough dollars worth.
Right.
I don't even know how to say that. But yeah, so she has been helping us a lot, and she's not really
praise
getting
God
anything for it. And it's amazing that we were sent a rep of everyone that could have been sent into our door. She looked at the signs we were sending, and she was like, wow, I really support what you guys are doing here.
Yeah.
Because I was not expecting that at all.
Right.
Trust me, the rep before her was not that helpful. So they're coming, and if you guys would please send pictures to us of you using your kits.
Yeah.
And we will put them up, and that'll be awesome. So
keep sharing in general clips from Abortion Mill Ministry being out there.
Yeah.
Just share it with us so we can encourage others and continue to instruct the church and help.
Marcus, you should do like one of those picture montages of like the babies are murdered here sign.
I think we have an email address, and I think it's story@endabortionnow.com. And then if you can send stories and stuff like that, I believe that's the email. I'll find out by the end of the show if that's correct. But yeah, so those will go to me, and we'll be able to post them. So
awesome.
If your church is out there doing work for End Abortion Now, and you have a baby that was saved, or just want to share videos of what happened, whether they're good videos or bad videos.
Craziness.
Yeah, right. Craziness. Yeah, just send them to story@endabortionnow.com.
Did you see, Marcus, the video I sent you? I know Zach saw it, of the guy in Reno.
Oh, that was horrible.
I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
So there's, forgive me if you're listening, somebody that is a fan and follows us and is part of An Abortion Now, they go to a mill in Reno, and I think they were saying that they used to be in the hospital and they got kicked out or something. So this guy went and opened his own standalone abortion clinic. And it's like the most evil thing you've ever heard and seen in your life. I mean, he literally is blasting the whole time. It's just the most vulgar, like people. It's like it's people just yelling and screaming vulgarities. It's nuts. And I guess he put in sprinklers that don't even like get the grass wet. They sprayed the sidewalks.
So people can't stand.
So
there,
like the Christians that are out there, they're like wearing like rain suits because they're getting sprayed with sprinklers. It's
crazy. And the signs too.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, really, like a little bit of rain, or a little bit of water, never. I know.
Yes, seriously. Please, in Arizona, would you?
Seriously,
it's kind of hot out there.
What would you say are the water resistance level of our signs are?
100.
I would say they're very water resistant. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
Yeah, bring it on. They're also death squirt resistant.
Yes, right. That's right. Yes, right. And it is. I just confirmed it is story@anabortionnow.com.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, and I think it's really important that people send their stories there and that we sort of share meaningful ones or mm-hmm. ones that seem very normal and nondescript. Because really, I mean, this is like a collective movement.
That's right.
Would you guys agree? It's totally. Not about, it's not like a discipleship program for End Abortion Now, where like Apologia Studios is the main person and then everything else, you know, flows out from it. Like it's a collective and what a lot of you guys are going through right now is something that we went through not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think it's really important that people realize that, when we started all this, we just went out and started doing it.
Yeah.
And we learned as we went, and we still learn. I mean, if Planned Parenthood moves to a new location, there's things to learn.
Mm-hmm.
If death squirts come out and all of a sudden your quiet little street turns loud, there's things to learn. So like even if you've been doing it for 5 years, you're going to be learning.
Yeah.
So don't be discouraged by being new, thinking maybe you're not doing it right, or thinking that if only you had someone to come out and teach you exactly how to do it, because there really is no way exactly how to do it other than the ways we've told you, mm-hmm. even in this episode. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just opened a new location, the one we go to, and literally we're having to relearn what we cannot do.
You get creative, and like there's no way that we could come teach you to do it perfectly.
Every clinic is different.
Yeah, it's all different, and it would come with its own unique set of
challenges. Issues,
but by going out there, you're learning, and that's really all to be a part of End Abortion Now. It's not about like knowing how to do it all perfectly and knowing the algorithm or anything. Like you just go out and you do it. That's the point of End Abortion Now. Yeah.
And I would say we're all in this together, and we're not superheroes.
No.
No one out on that sidewalk every week is a superhero. No one is a master preacher or has infinite knowledge of the scriptures or is invincible. They're just faithful people out there who love babies and love the lost neighbors enough to actually say something.
Right.
Including those who stand in opposition mm-hmm. against us.
I don't know, Zach, you are pretty super and my hero.
I do think that you're really good out there. Just let
Praise
you know.
God. Thank you for the encouragement, guys.
So yes, please, if you haven't signed up for that yet, End Abortion Now, please go do that. And you will be hearing from Zach. If you have signed up and you have not heard from Zach, please be patient.
Right. Well, and if you haven't received your kit, if you have a login and everything and you haven't received your kit, just know that we are very close to being in a position to just sending them out a lot faster.
Yeah. It was we haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah. This very like beginning phase where we kind of had to figure out our system.
Right.
It's figured out. So
we're not Amazon.
No.
No, we're not.
One day. Amazing, though.
Oh, snap.
On that note, we'll see you on the other side.
Hey, for 21 years and counting, New St. Andrews College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house. Not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world. Not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles. Not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on the lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA and you can save some money while you save your face.
Have you ever watched a movie or TV show with your friends and noticed all kinds of symbolism, allegory, and Christian themes only to have your friends shrug it off?
Well, maybe you need some new friends, but more likely you need popcorn theology. I'm Richard.
And I'm David, and we're the hosts of Popcorn Theology, a podcast for movie lovers and theology nerds.
Each week, we dive into a different movie, TV show, or other topic and explore them from a biblical worldview.
Check us out on iTunes or your favorite podcast catcher or at popcorntheology.com.
And remember, you are not a mindless consumer.
Welcome back to Apologia Radio. We're going to continue our discussion of the so-called pro-life movement. And this will be our last segment, so we'll finish the show on this. But we got some more clips to play from interviews that Zach and Marcus got. This first one is, you said, from Carol, who is the president, correct?
Presidente.
You want to set it up at all, or you want me to just play it?
You can go ahead and play it. Essentially, we just asked, we asked this question to multiple people, but we asked about the woman's role in getting the abortion, because the common narrative that they paint is that these women are all coerced, they're all under detrimental stress, and so they themselves are a victim in abortion.
Okay. Right, here we go.
I understand the question. The pro-life movement has a lot of women who are active in it who have had abortions, and they very much argue that the mother who got the abortion is also a victim.
Okay. Okay. So?
Well, I think this is one of the major problems of the pro-life movement, is that they're fighting to end a law which is not, which has no criminal enforcement, mm-hmm. because the woman's a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make any sense how you can say this is illegal, this is murder, this should be outlawed. Why? Like, the people who are doing it haven't committed a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's just, she is the head of one of the most influential pro-life movements in the country, right? Like, there's a reason why they had the governor of Wisconsin there. They had the lieutenant governor of Wisconsin. They had Ben Shapiro. They had David DeLeiden. They have a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
And so these very people who are fighting for a law, they're fighting for a law that makes the person committing the crime, they don't want to say that they've committed a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's like saying, well, the bank robber has a lot of pressure. There's a lot of outside, you know, influences that caused him to commit a bank robbery. But we want bank robbery to be illegal, but we don't want to say that the bank robber is a bank robber.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, these same people have no problem calling the doctor a murderer, but they're not willing to call the mother who's essentially hiring an assassin to murder her child. They don't want to, you know, say she's a murderer as well. But if it was, again, a baby or a child that's already out of the womb, you know, talking about location, if the mother hired someone to murder her child, they would have no problem calling the mother a murderer.
That's an exact question that we asked them. I asked that exact question. You remember that, Marcus?
You did.
We said, what's the difference between a mom that drowns her six-week-old baby in the bathtub? Should she be punished for that? And what should the punishment be, and according to what standard should that take place?
Right.
Where is that? And so through their eyes, it ends up dying the death of a thousand qualifications too, because you don't know the circumstance. She could be coerced. She could have had this as, you know, a psychological impairment, or there's always some kind of thing that muddies the water to where we're not quite sure what the punishment should be, but we know for sure that it shouldn't be on the mom, and it should very well be on the abortionist. But even then, we don't know what the punishment should be either.
Well, so
go ahead.
I think it's worth saying that if we call it murder and we legally made it murder, that if in the rare instance you were being coerced to commit murder, you could go somewhere and say of a police type nature or call a phone number of a police type nature and say, hey, someone is forcing me to commit murder.
Right. Yeah.
So again, I don't want to placate too much to that argument because it would be such a rare occurrence, and I would almost believe it never happens in the United States.
Right.
And I would be willing to say that it never happens. Hmm. And so the point, I think, again, I think the point of it is that, like, you have immense pressure put, they are saying, I would believe that women do get pressure to have an abortion.
Right.
But pressure is not coercion.
Right.
They're not saying, I will kill you if you don't kill this baby.
Right.
They're saying, oh, well, I don't really want a baby, or you're too young, or giving her all the common arguments. And that, unfortunately, does not absolve you of committing a murder.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we called it for what it is, murder, and it was that way in a legislative way and in morally and everything, just across the board, if it was murder, that would give the woman who is actually indeed being coerced the opportunity to say, this person's committing a crime by trying to make me commit murder, you know? That, so it really doesn't, in terms of the punishment, it doesn't, calling the woman that has an abortion a murderer, it doesn't, like, if she is innocent, that just opens up her being innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has an opportunity to remain innocent and save the life of her baby. I mean, it's a very convoluted argument as it is.
Yeah.
But if anything, calling it murder does not hurt the woman who is being coerced violently to have an abortion.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt her at all. It helps her.
Right.
So.
Right.
Right. Which leads us into, I think, where the next clip is going to take
before
us.
Before I was just going to say, like,
Marcus was going to say something too, and I...
Oh.
I forgot.
Sorry.
So, like, you know, to call a woman the victim, you know, okay, so is it possible she was a victim of rape? Yes.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right. But then that does not... That's a pragmatic excuse to justify another victim.
There you go.
You know, that's completely innocent and hasn't done anything.
Right.
You know, so to use that is,
well, because
is
then
bogus.
Anyone who's been sexually assaulted go out and kill anyone.
Right.
Who even someone who wasn't involved in their sexual assault and just say, well, I was in this horrible situation and I wanted to murder someone. And so I did.
Yeah. And even still, like, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but we all know the percentages of even that actually happening is really small. Right.
Right.
So ultimately, the only way for a woman to be a victim in this situation is if someone was to drug her, essentially.
Or put a gun to her head.
Right.
Right.
To say, and I will kill you if you don't do this.
But
yeah.
I'll let you answer this, Joy, as a woman. If you, I mean, you would try to save your child no matter what.
Right.
Essentially, you wouldn't.
Right.
You wouldn't just say, "Well."
Right. If you are willing to give in to the pressures
right.
of someone telling you to have an abortion, it indicates more than likely that you are already okay with abortion.
Mm-hmm.
If someone has to put, and I guess I can speak to anyone that's thinking these thoughts right now or has this pressure upon them right now, if there's any part of you that even has to think over your boyfriend, your husband, whatever,
mm-hmm.
suggesting an abortion, then you already know that it's wrong. But
yeah.
if you walk through that door, what you're doing is you're allowing a murder to happen and you're committing a murder.
Mm-hmm.
So by not calling it, and that's my point in all this, that when we, the way to solve that issue is to just call it murder.
Yeah.
Because then when the boyfriend, when the boyfriend suggests to the girlfriend, you should have
no
an abortion. It's not a big deal. She can just say, "Oh no, that's murder."
Yeah. Right.
She doesn't have
right.
to say like,
right.
It doesn't matter if the boyfriend doesn't call it that or the husband
right.
doesn't call it that or mom or dad or whoever.
Right.
Like it's helpful, if anything, to
yeah.
have it labeled appropriately.
Right.
And that's pragmatism when we get into that. I just talked about that earlier in the episode, you
mm-hmm.
know. But the point is that if someone tries to bring up the tiny, tiny little statistical
mm-hmm.
moments where someone is coerced, which like So rape obviously happens, is underreported, still don't think it's okay to have an abortion, but also very uncommon. So when someone brings up what if they were raped, they're bringing up evidence that is not, it's not happening a lot.
Right.
It's not happening a lot. It's not even a good argument.
Right.
And I would venture to say, and someone out there can correct me if I'm wrong, if there's a statistic on this, but I would say, no one in the current day United States is being coerced violently to have an abortion. It's
yeah.
just not happening.
Right. And I mean,
and if they are, that's wrong. We
right.
should be able to call that. If
yeah.
you're going to call murdering a woman because she won't have an abortion murder,
right.
then you should call an abortion murder.
Right. Yeah. And so I was going to say right into that, like we're fans of the law of God here, obviously. So
for sure,
you know, ultimately a woman cannot have an abortion unless she signs off on it.
Right.
Legally.
Right.
Who knows what's happened illegally,
right.
but, but according to the law of God, so say someone like this circumstance where someone's coercing or forcing
right.
someone to have an abortion, you know, the person forcing this woman should also be guilty of murder.
Right.
Right. And so if they say they kidnap them, oh, guess what? That's also you're also guilty of the death penalty for kidnapping. You know,
right.
so like if we apply God's law, this discussion doesn't even
right.
it doesn't matter.
It actually protects
right.
women.
Exactly.
You don't need to, if you've had an abortion, you're not going to find solace or peace in rationalizing that you're a victim. You're just not. It's not there.
Right.
And I'm not saying that in any sort of biting way. I'm saying it like pleading. Please don't try that route because it absolutely will not work and you'll just
mm-hmm.
live the rest of your life in pain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where peace is found is in God's grace.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah.
That's where it's found.
Amen.
And so you're not going to find peace by ignoring God's law. Is it harsh when you've had an abortion? Is it harsh to be in Christ and to contemplate the idea that you killed your child?
Mm.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Truth
but
hurts
there
sometimes.
Is no, there is also endless pain with no solution on the other side where you're rationalizing that you were
right.
a victim and that you were forced and all this stuff. It doesn't, there's just, don't. I beg of you, please don't.
It's true. And I think there's one thing I usually say when we go out there to the clinics to bring the gospel is this blood sacrifice will not atone for your sin.
Hmm.
There's only one blood sacrifice that will do that.
Right.
And cover
Amen.
Your guilt and your shame, and that's Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's his shed blood that will cover you. You can't make a substitutionary atonement in the sense of atoning by sacrificing your child. There's only one sacrifice that will do that.
Mm.
And that's through Jesus.
And that's going to lead us into the next clip. You want to set that up?
Have you been trying to set up this clip?
No,
for like...
I just now.
No,
okay. I just didn't.
I'm sorry.
Marcus, you want to go ahead with this one?
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
I get
with
a
this
little
one.
Passionate.
This is Brian Kemper, and I've had some interactions with Brian Kemper in the past through Babies Are Murdered Here, and so he knew who I was, and I didn't know if he was going to agree to an interview, but I wanted to make sure that it was one of the last ones that we did. And it was interesting, like afterwards we had a pretty lengthy discussion about, you know, Babies Are Murdered Here in the movie. And he was trying to say that, you know, he's a Protestant, and I mean, he's a Catholic, and
he believes in justification,
by faith. And it's not fair that I guess John Speed told him that he was going to hell. Not in that way, but he said, you know, Catholics don't have a gospel,
right?
And so he blocked the Babies Are Murdered Here Facebook page or something like that. And so that was like years ago. So he was talking about how like he was surprised that I was here, and you know, I've spoken out against the National Right to Life, so what am I doing here? And so we had a healthy discussion afterwards, but he still agreed to be interviewed, and so this was the question that tipped him off that he really did know who I was. And this was when he was asked if a woman who has an abortion is a victim.
So I guess back to the question of whether we call women that have abortions murderers. I don't think that's the proper thing to do. The person that's actually doing the killing is the abortionist. But a lot of these women are scared. They're confused. They don't know what they're doing. And I don't think going around and calling them murderers is the best way to reach out to them and to get them to make that right decision. The people that are committing the crime of murder are the abortionists, obviously. But I think you have to look at the best way to reach them, the best way to get them to not go into that building. And if you're just standing there screaming murderer, you're just basically driving them into that building. So I don't see that as helpful in any way whatsoever. Yes, abortion is an act of homicide. One person killing another person. We're always going to say it is that. It's murder. But we have to look at what's going on in society, what's going on, what they're being told, how they're being lied to, and how do we reach them the best way. And I don't think that standing there yelling that at them is going to reach them. I think if we tell them how much we care about them, how much we love them, and how we can help them, we're going to turn a lot more women away from abortion than if we just sit there and yell murderer.
Wow.
So
guess what? The woman drowning her kids is also scared and confused.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. It's an important distinction too. If I could say, in the short time that I've been doing this ministry to abortion clinics, I've never heard one person out there screaming murderer, murderer, murderer.
Right.
But the distinction is that we tell the truth about what this act is. If you go through with it
exactly.
And complete it, basically with the desires of your heart, and you complete it in the flesh. Scripture says, according to Jesus, I'm a murderer in my heart because I've hated my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we know that the law of God and obedience to it begins from the heart and flows from there. But the distinction has to be made. We're not standing out there screaming murder, murder, murder. We're telling the truth about what the act is before right. God. When you right. unjustly take the life of another human being, that's called murder. And God has a standard that says if you violate that, then guess what? You forfeit your right to live.
Yeah, and you can't bring someone to a saving knowledge of Christ without telling them their sin.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, they're just trying to save babies, but we're trying to save souls too.
Exactly.
So that's
the twofold.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Like, even if they go through and with it and murder their child, at least they heard the gospel, and they can be convicted of their sin now. And you're not responsible for not giving them enough information, or not having all the facts laid out, or being accused of, you know, maybe you had a bad day and you weren't as nice as you could have been, you know. Mm. So it just, there's so many factors that they create for themselves. Like, it's really a burden on anybody who's doing abortion ministry. To think that they have to have everything laid out so perfectly, and you know, and there's all these steps you have to follow, and it's just really, it's nuts. And just preach the gospel, and whatever happens, happens. God is sovereign over it.
I think the only name calling I've ever heard from Zach is mother and father.
Right. Calling them right. what they are.
Exactly. And it's, you know, and like you said, you're a mother, you're a father, you're about to murder your child. You're calling the act what it is, but you're not labeling them murderers.
Right.
You're labeling them what they are.
Yeah, even post-abortion.
Mothers and fathers.
Even post-abortion.
Even post-abortion. Right. You're the mother and father of a dead child.
Yeah, exactly. You murdered your child, but there's hope and forgiveness in Christ.
Right.
That's the message.
Yeah. So there's no sense. Like, that's even more important to women who are post-abortive to give them the gospel, because there's forgiveness and there's hope and there's grace and reconciliation.
Right. It's a different message.
It's a different message. But yes, they are a murderer. But that's why the gospel is so amazing.
Such were some of you.
Yeah. Such were some of you. Right. So that's the thing. Like, it's about being honest with what this is. And you can't change the souls of people by just, you know,
taking the teeth out of the language.
Taking the teeth out of language. And you can't change the law by taking the teeth out of language. So.
And I shouldn't say different messages, different approach. Same message.
Right. Yeah.
Different approach.
Right.
Yeah. It varies. I mean, honestly, it just that because we've seen many a woman like come out the back and, you know, guilt stricken, shame. Yep. I mean, just they're, you know, spitting up into a wastebasket because of the, you know, the drugs, and they have the look on their face that they know what they've done.
Right.
It's apparent. And, you know, there is a time to breathe fire. And there is a time to be, you know, a little bit softer, but that doesn't mean that you sacrifice the truth in either of those circumstances.
Right.
There's a time for both, but the truth and the love of God is consistent through it all.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the love may look a little harsher. Sometimes it'll be a little gentler in the words that we use, but the approach is the same. There's forgiveness in Christ. You can be washed away. You can have all your sins cleansed even after you've done this, even after the fact, especially like you, the grace of God is sufficient to wash you clean even after you do this horrible thing. And that's ultimately what we want for women.
And that's why it's so important to preach the gospel. It's just like...
And fathers, by the way.
Yeah, it's just like... You know, if you're talking to someone who's a homosexual, like, you're not telling them just to repent from being homosexual. You're telling them to repent from all their sins. And it's the same thing here. You're not calling these mothers and fathers just to repent of the murder of their child. You're calling them to repentance from all their sins.
Right. It's your whole life, and it's my whole life, by the way, before God, that's deserving of death.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we need to turn from it and come to Christ.
Right. Joy, anything else?
We covered a lot of really...
This was good
stuff. I think this was good.
I actually was intending to also address a different subject, and we didn't even get to it, and that's a good thing. So we'll save that for another day. Marcus, anything?
No, I'm good.
Zach, anything?
Nope, I don't think so. Thank you to all the churches that are partnering with us for End Abortion Now. We appreciate you guys, and thank you for everyone that's supporting this ministry. Honestly, it just wouldn't be possible.
Yeah, that's what allowed us to go out there.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we want to go more places.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
never on Frontier though. I will never ever
or Advantage
never,
rent a car.
If I ever book a flight for you, it will never be through Frontier unless of like there's just no other other way to get out there.
Other.
You could set, I'm not suggesting anyone do this, please know that, you could set every single terminal but the Frontier terminal on fire, and I would still not book through Frontier.
Wow.
It wasn't like
I'm going to laugh
when
the next flight, it has to be through Frontier. It's going to be amazing.
You guys are going to be like, I want to go somewhere nonstop. Because I know like Cincinnati really only flies... Frontier is like one of the only airlines that goes to Cincinnati nonstop. There's a few places like that where Frontier just has the market, but they also have the market on flight delays, charging you for everything. I flew Frontier once and they were like, you're delayed
because toilet paper dispensers.
Well, you're delayed because we just can't open the plane door.
Me and Zach were sitting in another gate, and they announced that the flight would be late because a flight attendant would be late.
Yeah.
Oh, and I remember that. Everybody was like mad.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, of course.
Every time I've ever flown Frontier, it's always delayed. And it's for some stupid reason, like, oh, the plane's broken. I'm like, why am I flying on a Frontier plane? Mm. They just break?
That inspires a lot of confidence.
Like, this flight's going to be delayed. Our pilots are drunk.
One of our engines is not functioning properly.
I'm pretty sure one of the flight attendants was drunk.
Well, they probably have to be to put up with all the complaining from the people.
Seriously? Like, you know, it doesn't
I
got
to pay to operate my seatbelt? Like,
that sort of environment doesn't make... an environment where the flight attendants
on the buckle.
I'm listening, Marcus.
Yeah. Well, the flight attendants can't be in an optimistic mood because they always have to say no so much.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well, and I mean, consider what is your daily customer interaction like if they've just been forced to pay $85 last minute for their carry-on bag?
Right. Right.
They hate you.
Yeah, they do.
Like, everyone just hates you.
That's true. Hey, Zach, how many times did Marcus lose or throw away his boarding pass?
I
kept it.
Yeah, I don't remember that happening.
Now that we dogged him on air, he makes sure he doesn't...
It's interesting traveling with Marcus. I'll just say one thing. walking with him, at first I thought it was just, you know, him trailing behind because he carried a heavy backpack.
Yeah.
Honestly, that thing was like stereo collection in there.
In order to save us money... He's
a pack mule.
He just put all his camera stuff in his personal bag. So. Yes.
And he doesn't trust it underneath either.
Right. And so I carried the bag for him a couple times, and I said, oh, maybe that'll help him. We'll both stay at the same pace. And no, I was still like...
He's our pokey little puppy.
I felt like I was like sprinting.
Well, pray for me because I'm about to fly with him. So.
No, it's a good experience. Marcus is great to travel with and hang with.
You too, Zach.
Thanks, brother.
You too. Let's do some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, I don't know when this will be released. Probably next week. We'll probably be in Kauai when this is released, unless Marcus releases it before we go to Kauai.
It'll be released tomorrow.
Well, it'll be released tomorrow. So,
nice.
Awesome. Well, pray for us when you hear this. We'll be on our missions trip next week in Kauai. We should have a new website very, very soon.
Exciting. Yes.
I think we should start, I guess Tim gets back from vacation this week, and then they'll start data entry and re-uploading everything.
Oh, I can't wait. So that's coming very, very soon, so be watching for that. Thank you again to everyone who is All Access. As we mentioned, none of this is possible without our All Access subscribers, so thank you very much. Anything else that I'm missing? Okay.
Well, love you guys. God bless.
This has been great. Yes, thank you, Zach. Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Ginger King.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Frontier.
No, never. No. I dream about a time we could be
alone. Come on, baby, call me on the telephone. Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself?
Yeah, you can say Joy. Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't.
He can cut this, so just talk about it.
Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address
is
1805 East Elliott Road, number 112, Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.